Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Jules.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
Oh, and welcome. Welcome to Jules and Sarah, the podcast.
Well, here we are again.
It's a bit clammy today, I won't lie.
I want to apologise straight away because we filmed this podcast, this series
which
of the podcast.
Which sounded like a good idea at the
time.
Yeah,
it was all very, it was all very excitable, wasn't it? I just want to apologise for my hair. Because I washed it this morning, which is always, but it always looks awful on the day I wash it because it's frizzy, it's too clean, and a light drizzle just as I was leaving the house. And I have a little defrizzer, like a spray.
And this is all brand new information for me.
I know. Well, I've entered a new phase. Not that you'd know, looking at me, look at the state of me. And I was like, shall I run back upstairs and get the defrizzer? I've got my boots on. Can I be bothered? No, it'll be fine. I've regretted that decision ever since.
And of course, as June's daughter, I'm actually amazed at how much volume has really come in during the frizz
here. I've got very fine hair. John always, because I say this all the time, John's like, I've got very fine hair, but there's lots of it. Yeah. That's my
I've heard
hair.
You say that a thousand times.
Like, oh, God, this isn't about you having loads of hair. I said, I've just got a lot of hair. So I do have June's fine hair, but I've got more of it than June.
I see. Well, anyway, Portslade crew, in this episode, we will be loosely discussing around jobs, professions.
What have we done? What haven't we done?
What was your first job?
My first job was W.H. Smith. W.H. Smith, Saturday Girl. And it was often a case of straight through crew. So I would go out on a Friday night into Manchester. We went to a charming little place called Mutt's Nuts.
Oh my God, I've been.
Yeah, of course
been
you
plenty
have.
Of
course
times.
You have. The dance room, the indie room. It was great. And then that would finish. Everyone else would decamp then to Gilly's Rock World. Don't know if you've been there.
No.
Quite the hole.
No.
Let me tell you.
That's
you
not on
like
brand.
It. You wouldn't like it.
They don't
it
appreciate contouring in Gilly's Rock World.
Absolutely not. Gilly's never contoured.
No.
And then, but I would go home at that point. I would have to go home.
That was
home.
Your cutoff.
Yeah, that was my cutoff because I often had to be in W.H. Smith at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning to do the papers, feeling very, I mean, I can't believe it now. If I had to be somewhere at 8 o'clock in the morning, I would have to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, no.
I would have to have my outfit hanging up. I'd have to have planned the whole thing. I'd have to, like, breakfast would have to be set, the lot. And I just used to rock up. W.H. Smith in my pencil skirt.
There's two, not you in a pencil skirt, just a pencil skirt in general. I think there's two camps when it comes to jobs when you're at school. I think there's the people that don't have jobs when they're at school.
Yeah.
Lovely, lucky them. And they can go out till whatever time.
They've got no character, no experience in the world.
There's people like you and me who had those jobs, those early jobs. As soon as I turned 16, I was working.
That was exactly the same. Yeah, yeah.
And I remember going out to, and it's the worst when you're in the year of like all the 18s or all the 16s, like all these big birthday parties.
Yes.
And like We'll come on to my first job and why that didn't work out. But one of my second jobs was working in Laura Ashley, measuring like curtain fabric and fluffing cushions, which looking back is very on brand. But at the time, none of my friends was doing that. But I used to go out in Nottingham and then I'd get in at 4, yeah, and then I'd be up measuring that fabric 10 a.m. on that shop floor. I think... I look back and now that I'm doing a renovation and you spend all this money on like fabric and curtains, I was like, I can't believe people were shopping with me.
I know. Well, people used to come in and buy their wedding invites at WH Smith. Like we'd have these massive folders and they'd order them. Yeah. And I'd be checking the details of somebody's wedding. I couldn't see straight. I was like this. But what was very exciting, and I don't know if you would have had this in Laura Ashley, did you have shoplifters?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes. I saw many a time people putting wallpaper down their trousers.
No, you didn't.
Yes, yeah.
Rolls of wallpaper
down the trousers and then walking out.
And did they ever get stopped?
Well, you were told never to stop them, but you know me, I don't listen. So I remember saying to somebody, sir, I have just seen you put that wallpaper down your trousers.
You confronted them.
I said,
them.
You've got two choices. You can leave and we can deal with that way, or you can just take it out, put it over there and I'll wipe it down and we'll move on. Okay.
Wipe it down.
And off he went.
So he took it with him?
No.
Oh, no, he did put it back. He popped it back and you
probably came back the next day when I wasn't working.
Isn't that one roll? I think he came in every day. Soon enough, he'd had enough for the whole haul.
Yeah, that's
what I mean. We had it. Yeah, it was exciting, shoplifters. We had one guy who came in because there was like a DVD counter at the back of the shop.
Oh, my God, this is throwback.
This is way back. And... He came in and the big new release, the hot new release, was Finding Nemo, available on DVD and Blu-ray.
What is Blu-ray?
What is...
I just have no idea what it is.
What is Blu-ray, for goodness sake? And anyway, he got under the counter and he took all the Finding Nemo DVDs. Anyway, Julie spotted him because it was quite a small shop, really. Like it was very,
in hindsight.
Yeah, Julie went and stood by the front door and watched this guy come down the shop. Literally, honestly, like you know, like a very large bag for life.
Yeah,
like he had two of them stuffed full of Finding Nemo DVDs. And he came into them anyway. He dropped them. He dropped them off. Julie was onto him and he hid them behind the quiz books and he left the shop. So he left the shop with nothing because he could see that Julie...
He knew.
Yeah, he knew. He knew. I mean, God knows what Julie was going to do. You know what I mean?
Julie was just loading up.
She was 8 stone soaking wet. You know, she couldn't... I don't know what she would have done. Nibbled him or something. But yeah. Gosh. So that was exciting. But I've worked in a pub. Have you worked in a pub?
No.
God, it's great.
I'm only one side of the bar and I made that decision at 18. Sure. I will never go the other side.
Very good. No, I loved working in a pub. I worked at M&S Food at one Christmas home from uni. That was hell. Every single thing that I beeped through, I just wanted. I'll never forget these goat cheese tartlets that kept coming up. I was like, it's all I can think about. It's all I can
I
think
actually
about bleeping
think
it through.
This, if you work on checkout, like what you must think, because I am guilty of a real side eye up and down the conveyor belt. You know, what's everybody else buying?
Yeah.
And I'd pride myself in a well-balanced shop. I won't lie. And then if I'm ever doing a quick run around, I'm like, oh God, I hope these people don't think that this is like my daily shop. Like,
it's when you see somebody who's got
no vegetables.
Yeah, no vegetables.
What's going on?
Well, they're growing their own, clearly.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But it's when you see someone who's got like an abundance, like I'm talking 20 packets of sausages.
Yes.
You're like, what's the story here?
Hoverseeded, you know, sensations.
Do you know what one woman did at M&S one Christmas? You could buy an M&S ready meal Christmas dinner. So it had everything on it. You just, you know,
pierced the film,
shoved it in, ding. And it had everything on the plate. She bought 14. She was obviously having the whole family, and that's what she was going to do. She was not cooking a single thing from scratch. She bought 14 individual Christmas dinner for one.
I kind of salute her
for that. You know,
no
she probably
judgment.
Had a great day.
Yeah.
She had a better day than most.
Yeah. She wasn't slaving away on that stove.
But one job that I've got to tell you about was I worked. So I got a job, one, to save up to go to Italy. I got a job at a sweet factory. There was a big sweet factory near us who made love hearts. Yeah. And what else was they? The big ones.
The violet rose. The violet.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah. The Palmer violets. Yeah. They made those, and they made, you know, the little fruit salads and the blackjacks, the tiny little ones.
Yeah, I think we've talked about them on the podcast before. Yes. At parties when they used to hit you in the face and the DJ would throw you out. You'd be like, "Ow, my eyes!"
And the little balls. Do you remember the four little coloured sweet balls?
Oh my god! Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I got a job. I had to wear steel toe cap boots. Had to wear a hairnet. Had to wear a white coat, and I had to count the sweets into the jars and stuff.
Like a hungry hippo.
Yeah, like a hungry hippo. And you had to pack. Oh my God. The people that were working in that factory, you have never seen a cardboard box go up faster. It was unbelievable how quickly they could, it was like origami. There was just a box. But there was one shift where you had to, there was like these huge rollers. And the shoots of sweets would come down. So you'd have a mix. So you'd have four different sweets pouring down. Yes. My hair's serving Oompa Loompa. And they were coming down like this, rolling round. But they'd get stuck. So your job was literally to sit there. And if they were stuck, you had a great big iron hook. And you'd have to get up there and unblock it. Unblock the chute. And I did that for 4 hours.
Just unblocking the chute.
And sometimes it didn't block. Sometimes you go an hour with no block and it would just
God,
come
that
down.
Is so funny.
Isn't that funny? You just have to sit there with the hook.
Oh, that's so
just waiting.
Good.
What was your first job?
So my first job, obviously I did babysitting. That's like,
but that never counts. Babysitting's a great job. Babysitting's the best.
And babysitting, I actually babysat for our neighbour and they had a beer keg in the cellar and it was a tap that connected in the kitchen. And the neighbours were like, don't worry about when the kids are going to bed. If you want a pint, just have a pint. Oh, big mistake.
So they had like a...
They had a proper beer tap in the kitchen.
How funny. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, so they had the barrels in the
cellar.
Yeah, no,
I just... Yeah, I just...
Makes sense.
I don't understand why more people don't have that.
Me either. But my first proper job was a waiter at a restaurant called the Saracen's Head, which my friend Lara's dad owned. So I kind of, like, got the job through, like, mates' rates. Anyway, all was going very well. I was a good waiter. I enjoyed doing it. I did every Saturday and sometimes Sunday lunch. I was very into the biscuit barrel at there.
Yes.
Any kind of coffee. They didn't have a coffee machine, which I learned the hard way because people kept asking for lattes. And I at the time, I didn't know what a latte was. And I was like, yeah, we do that. And I'd just make a normal coffee and take it to them with biscuits on there. I'd always
have
a little milk biscuit for myself, three
yes.
for you.
I was very keen on the bread basket. We used to have to cut the bread to take
ciabatta.
To the table. Oh,
I love
God.
Chopping that ciabatta.
But
yeah.
it was very much loaf for you, loaf for me.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I was like, by the end of the shift.
But when I started, I didn't eat fish at the time. And I was really like, I did not. It took me a while to like fish. Mm. Anyway.
So you were just veggie?
Just veggie. There was this one dish, and I don't know if I've told this on the podcast before, but there was one dish and it was trout. But it was a whole trout. Whole fish. I scales the works. The customer had to deal with it at the table. There was no dissecting. It wasn't Hawksmoor.
Who could be bothered as well? Who could be bothered to order it?
I couldn't stand the sight of it. And whenever somebody would order it, I'd be like, I'd have to say to my colleagues, like, you're going to have to take this. I can't take that to table four. No chance. Anyway, one lunchtime, I was like, the only person on, I had to take this trout. I remember going to the plate, the chef's like, service. So I go to the plate, I lift off, and this trout is just staring at me, the eyes looking at me, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be sick. Oh. This is so disgusting. Go through the first swingy doors, boom.
Yeah.
Go through the second swingy doors, boom. And I'm walking over to the table, and as I put it down on the lap, this trout just kept looking at me, and I just was like, oh my God, that is repulsive. But because I was so repulsed, the plate slipped and the whole trout just fell in the guy's lap.
No!
The guy then stood up and was like, what the hell? The trout is just on the floor. There's samphire everywhere, potatoes everywhere. People were like, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God. So I was like, what do I do? I've got to lift this trout up. So I had to get my like the napkins and like scoop it under and like toss it onto this plate. By this point, there's like mashed potato everywhere. Like, you know. And I had to run back into the kitchen. I was like, I've had a trout disaster. I can't do this. They were like, what?
So then you won't believe what's happened.
And they did not believe.
No.
And then I had to go back, and they were like, offer them free champagne, offer them free champagne. I'd never poured champagne before in my life. So I went over pouring the champagne, volcano, eruption of bubbles.
God.
It was an absolute disaster. I got the sack 2 weeks later, which is fair enough.
Oh, because not trout related.
I think the trout may have been like
a red flag. Yeah. Yeah.
But then I actually ended up going out with my friend Lara, the owner's daughter, quite a few nights in the trot and phoning in sick. So I quite deservedly got the sack. And then, yeah, I moved on to Laura Ashley, then did DKNY at uni.
Oh, casual!
Which was hilarious because me...
You were in DKNY, I was doing M&S Christmas dinners for one.
Yeah, but at DKNY, I just bluffed it. I had this interview, I was like, yeah, I've done alterations. Yeah, it's fine. Like, I've been in the fitting room with clients, no problem. I'd never done any of that. And I had to,
I'd been in the fitting room at Zara. Yeah,
I had to pour these clients champagne and I...
Oh, not again!
I'd definitely done a straight through crew and I was in the back pouring them champagne, taking it out. And they'd be like, oh, can you alter these trousers? And I'd be like, again, like you and W. Smith could not see. Turning people's trousers up, pinning them, pins going into the ankles. Just an absolute disaster. And then I've had jobs in retail that I look back and I'm like, how did I even hold that job? Yeah. Like, how did that even happen? But you know, here we are.
Here we are. And it's character builder, darling.
It's character building.
That's what it is. It sets you up for life.
For life.
It does, because that's what we were always told. That's what doing. It'll be good for you. Get out there. Go and do it. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to tell you about June's job story. But first of all, will we have a little listen in to the WhatsApp?
I think so.
Now, we love this. If you've missed this on the podcast, you can speak to us directly. And you've been leaving us gorgeous voice notes and we are living for them. Like, we absolutely love them. So shall we see? Shall we see who we've got?
Hey Jules and Sarah, it's Carly here from Leeds. Whoop whoop. On behalf of the whole Portsaloo crew, I think I can speak for us all when I say we're super, super excited to have a new season coming back. And we really appreciate all the work you guys put into the podcasts for us. And it's not been the same these last few months without you. So thank you and look forward to hearing from you and what everyone's been up to, and catch up on all the goss soon.
Oh, Kylie, the most Leeds girl I've ever heard.
It's gorgeous accent. Gorgeous. Oh, I love that, Kylie.
Oh, Kylie, thank you.
I want to go for a white wine spritzer with you.
I want to go for a Greggs. Yeah,
you sound like my kind of girl.
You sound divine. It's so nice to hear from you. And you've sent us such lovely messages as well. Like, there's been so much excitement around
hysteria, right?
Yeah, actually. Some people have had to have a lie down and a word with themselves. I can't wait to tell you about June's job, but I want to hear about Ken's, because you came and you were like, you'll die.
Oh my God. So Ken has had a range of careers, and Ken is
like...
He can
turn his hand to anything.
He's a real hustler, and I learned a lot about business from Dad. But when we were tiny, when we were young, Dad worked in TV and worked in like multimedia. So Ken,
which is amazing.
And like, this is like, we're talking like 90s multimedia. We're talking like lots of brochures, lots of business cards, glossy prints, photo shoots, lots of like TV promotion.
A lot of long lunches.
Yeah, long lunches.
Yeah. Lunches that rolled into breakfast.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And Ken used to work at Cannes Film Festival. We've heard stories before about
We've
Ken.
Heard whispers.
We've heard stories. So Dad, actually, we had a lovely conversation about this. It's been really nice having this conversation with Dad, because I would have never heard this story if it wasn't for the podcast. Yeah. So I just want to say, like, big ups to Pod for letting this happen.
Yeah, and that's the same with June's, actually. I had no idea. Go on, sorry.
So Ken had to go to Cannes to promote a Scottish TV show called Tag It.
Oh, we all know Tag It.
So Scottish TV.
And the Cannes Film Festival. Wasn't it like an ITV drama?
Well, it was like a Cannes TV fest. Like, I think it was the TV side.
Yeah, even so.
So the chairman of Scottish TV had said, like, we're going to Cannes, we're expecting a big party, Taggart needs a big push, and you need to pull this event together. And Dad's like, I'll do it, absolutely no problem. So Dad said, I thought about Cannes, and I thought, you know, what do people want when they go to Cannes? They want to be on a boat. They want to be on a boat.
Good.
It's Scottish TV. I know what I'll do on a boat. I'll do whiskey tasting. So I was like, okay, this sounds like a good event. I was thinking, I've been to a few events. Whiskey tasting is only going to go one way.
Yeah. Like, there's no way out on a boat. No. Literally.
So Dad said, I also had the idea that I needed a bagpipe player at this event. And back in those days, there was no YouTube, there was no video, there was no audio file. You just had to trust the advert in the paper. So I was like, oh, okay.
What, bagpiper for hire?
No, so Ken put an advert in the, like, Nice Times or whatever it was, like a local newspaper, I need a bagpipe. And Dad said, I had two responses. So he said that he said, I'd never met her, but I booked her. And I thought, how hard can it be? If she says she can do the pipes, she can do the pipes. Anyway, Dad said, there I was in Cannes, and this bagpipe player came up. Well, she was tiny. She was a small, very slight woman.
Like
and
Julie from W.H. Smith.
Like Julie. Just like Julie. It might have even been Julie. So he said that as the boat was setting up, he was getting everything ready. And he said to the bagpipe player, like, you know, just you stand here and then people might come down. Dad was like, I invited 100 people thinking that maybe 50 people would come. And that was the size of the boat that I booked. He said, at 7:30, he went, I looked down the pier and there must have been about 300 people on their way to this boat. And I was like, oh my God. And he said, so I turned
Taggart to the pulled a real crowd.
So he said, I turned to this bagpipe player and I said, play, now, play. And Dad said, she must have been learning because she did not know how to play the pipes. It was like this. Dad was like, oh no.
The thing is, a good bagpipe player can great, right? A bad bagpipe player.
In Dad's words, he said, she huffed and she puffed and the pipes just weren't great.
You've got to have some heft, haven't you? They're quite a hardy, well, you've got to be a hardy Scots person. God, wow.
So Dad said,
play.
Dad said, well, we just had to get on with it because people were coming on the boat. So anyway, the boat started to fill up. The boat, you know, it really got busy. And Dad said, I realised very quickly that I put the whiskey bar at the wrong end of the boat. It was at the bottom end. So everybody was piling on the boat. They were queuing. People were getting stuck at the bar. You know, people weren't moving around this boat.
Yeah. Taggart's on.
Taggart's on in the corner, plugged in. So Dad said, he said this small French guy who runs the boat came over and he went, Mister, we have a slight issue. Lean in and cancel. So I leaned in dead close and I'd had a few whiskies, and the guy said, the boat is sinking.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh.
So Dad was like, you what? And he was like, the boat has touched the bottom of the harbour. It wasn't sailing. It was
No, thank God.
There are too many people on this boat. You must get them off immediately. So Ken was like, everybody off the boat, get off the boat. Like ushering people off.
And Ken, bagpiper first, get off.
And Ken said, by this point, he was three sheets to the wind. Yeah. He'd had a lot of whiskey.
Everyone was.
It was the 90s. Yeah. Like, people were going on.
So people were Scottish dancing. Yeah. No one asked them to.
No, it was in the south of France. So they said they all stood on the shore, and Dad was like, we'll do a speech. Speeches just to get him off the boat. And anyway, he said he stood at the bottom of the boat and everybody looked at him for a speech. And Dad was like, my mind went blank. I didn't know what to say. And I thought, what do people yell at the top of their lungs? Dad said he just yelled, Yorkshire Post! Yorkshire Post! And everyone was like, what? I was like, sorry, Dad, this is car crash.
Oh, my God.
So Dad, at the top of his lungs, was in a harbour in Cannes, yelling Yorkshire Post, to which everybody else, all oiled up on whiskey, started yelling the Yorkshire Post back.
Wow.
And Dad said,
wow.
It went on and then people went their own ways and we ended up through the night yelling Yorkshire Post.
incredible. So, I mean, I almost want to applaud this story. And honestly, I mean, it's just...
Dad told me this on a dog walk. I was like, Willow, just stop. I need to just listen to what my father is telling me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is Ken's, part of Ken's TV and promotion career that I think we can all agree has been exemplary.
I mean, that is... no, nothing will ever top that.
The boat is sinking.
The boat is sinking. Yorkshire Post! The crap bagpiper. It's got it all. It's got it all. It's got it all. That is wonderful. The boats touch the bottom of the harbour.
I know.
Oh, God. And I mean, the real thing for me is that it was Taggart.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That's what's really got it for me. Oh, my God. That is wonderful. Well, I'll tell you June's story, which, I mean, nothing could compare.
Just like Sinead O'Connor
it's
says.
It's the greatest story. It's the greatest story of all time. Yeah. It should be made into a film for Cam.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll put it in Cam.
Featuring Cass from Taggart.
Yeah. Taggart's been waiting for the call.
Yeah, yeah.
For years, they can't believe it. Mum's first job, she got sacked from. She was 14 because, you know, things were different back then. Employment laws.
Oh, there was
really,
none of that.
14, and she was in Woolworths. And she said, when you used to work in Woolworths, it wasn't like a shop where you went around and picked your own stuff. You had counters, right? This isn't the good story, by the way. This is just a warm-up story.
Oh, I know. I'm here for it.
And you had counters. So you went over to Silk and Thread and you'd go, yes, I'll have my Silk and Thread. And then you'd go over to shoes and then you'd go over to the shoe bit. And so you'd go over. So June was on Silk and Thread and she was very bored and she was fed up. And she said what she really wanted to do was she wanted to go and cut the pork pie, right?
I know what job's for me.
She's like, oh, the pork pie with the egg in the middle. That's, I know, not for you. But that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to go and work there. So she trotted off. She left her post like this, trotted off to the pork pie counter and popped a jacket on and a hairnet, and the guy said, come on, we've been waiting for you, get behind this counter, come on, we need you. Anyway, she was chopping this pork pie and the manager came over and went, what the hell do you think you're doing? And she was dismissed at once.
Silk and Thread, not
so
for
that's
her.
That's very funny. But June, so June was a teacher for years and years. She taught primary school.
I don't think I even knew that.
Really? Yeah, June, she did the school productions. Her Wizard of Oz is still talked about to this day. But she, so she went for this teaching job. It was the first job out of college, brand new school, okay? Brand new school, you know, gorgeous. And her dad took her. Her dad took her in the car. She said, I could not find my way into this school, could not get in there. And so there was a very large gate, right? She said it was completely locked up because it was brand new. It was interview day. She couldn't get in. Her dad went and got her a stool out of the car. And she said it was a massive, like, you know, it was a good 6 foot high, this gate, right? Anyway, June, because she was going for a music teacher job. So she had a bag and a violin. And her 80s pencil skirt.
Not really the kind of clobber that you need for scaling a fence.
And her dad gave her a leg up off the stool. And she clambered over this gate. And it was only when she was halfway over, violin in one hand, bag in the other, that she looked to the school. And because it was brand new, there was this enormous window, you know, this huge playground. The whole interview panel watching her. The whole interview panel watching cock a leg over this massive gate to get down like this. She said she climbed down and she said, I got the job. The head said, I'd never forget you. The girl, he said the woman who climbed over the gate. And also very resourceful. Yeah. Very resourceful.
Where was the gate?
I don't know. The gate was like at the school entrance or whatever, but it was all locked. But she did that. Oh. And then at the end of the interview, because it was a music teacher's job, she went, would you like me to play my violin? And they sort of all looked at each other and they went, no, you're all right. But lovely of you to ask. Thanks so much, little June. Do you want me to play my violin?
Oh, having just scaled the fence.
Having just scaled the fence. But another job. So my mum and dad both worked at Boots as a Saturday job as well. And mum was like, it was classic. I was stacking dog food and your dad was working behind the pharmacy counter.
Sure.
But because he was behind the pharmacy counter, he had a little white coat on. So everyone who came in assumed that he was a pharmacist, that he was qualified. So they'd bring in ailments to show him. He was just the Saturday boy, just getting enough money together for some new corduroy flares. But people would come in and go, can I show you this? And honestly, he said they used to show him all sorts. People just used to whip their bits out all the time to dad stood behind this counter because they just assumed he knew what he was doing, that he was fully qualified.
It was a different world back then.
It's a totally different world, a different time. You didn't go for your GP. You just went and showed your bits to the Saturday boy in Boots. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. Will we do a bit of news from the north?
We must. Okay, my news comes from the Leeds Live, a firm fave.
Solid.
And this is really a job that I think a mum has. She's cracked it.
Yeah.
She's cracked it and she's had enough. Naughty Yorkshire toddlers leave kitchen in paint tsunami when mum pops to the loo.
Oh, no.
And actually, I don't mean this to be triggering, Sarah, as you're about to enter into this.
Oh, it's fine. Don't worry. Nancy was sick in Sainsbury's the other day. Nothing will top that.
The kids' mum took 12 hours to clean up the mess and has
to spend... I thought she was in the toilet for 12 hours.
£500 on new kitchen appliances.
Oh, wow. And
two North Yorkshire toddlers were caught in a paint tsunami after their mum went for a quick toilet break. Knaresborough mum Hayley Kidd found Bonnie, 4, and Harry, 1, covered in paint from head to toe and her revamped kitchen in a mess which cost her £500.
Oh, Kelly!
Hayley had been giving...
Oh, was her name Kelly, Hayley?
Hayley had been giving the kitchen makeover on Monday when the kids were playing outside in the garden. She popped to the bathroom for less than 5 minutes and came back to find the two youngsters had smeared a tub of white paint all over themselves and the entire kitchen, including the floor, cupboards and surfaces.
So she was painting it. Hayley's giving it a touch up. She's painting it. Yeah. The kids are in the garden, fine. She's nipped to the loo.
Yeah.
The kids have come in
and thought,
oh, great,
time.
Fantastic.
There is a photo above which this journalist deems hilarious. I think it's stressful. With Bonnie crouched over an exploded bucket, both dripping in white paint, which also covers every surface and left every floor a sea of white. Bonnie had climbed onto the kitchen top and used a ladle to throw paint around the room at her younger brother. Hayley says she needs to replace the oven, the air fryer, microwave, and even the plug sockets, which have been faulty since their encounter with the paint. Hayley said, it is quite possibly the worst day of my life, but it was funny and it's done now. There's always something in our house.
God, Hayley. Hayley's very forgiving.
I know. I started painting my kitchen and the children were playing outside in the garden. While they were playing, I thought I'd run upstairs. And I'm not even going to say the words that she uses. It's distasteful.
She went to the bathroom.
She went to the bathroom. I can't describe how quickly it happened. It was less than 5 minutes.
Ladle is my favourite detail.
Resourceful.
Here.
I came down and was faced with that. I had no words. There was a moment of pause and silence when I took it in.
Time would stop for a moment.
They saw my presence and they were like, oh no, we're in trouble. Bonnie quickly said she was sorry to her mum, who said she took a deep breath when she saw the mess. Bonnie asked if I was mad and I just said I wasn't. I wasn't happy, but it's done now. It would not have been like that in Sheila's house.
Oh. June would still be talking about it now.
Oh, yeah.
June would still be punished now.
She added, I just got them upstairs in the shower, so I dripped more paint everywhere on the way. I showered them down, which was a traumatic experience for them when I was trying to get the paint off. We had to use cereal boxes to scrape it up. I ended up having to take Harry to bed and deal with it in the morning. I was cleaning from about 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. I've managed to get most of it up now, but there are drips that look awful. There's still paint in some places. I just can't get rid of it. Hayley shared a photo of the toddlers smeared in paint on social media, and commenters urged her to bin Bonnie and Harry and buy a new house. The post has racked up more than 3,000 likes, shares and comments.
Oh, she's done very well out of it. Yes.
It then goes on to what people have commented, which I'm really not interested in hearing, but she's had a nightmare.
Got to gift her an air fryer for that.
I feel like getting in touch.
Yeah.
I feel like saying, God, I'll send you an air fryer.
That is the ladle, the climbing, the purposeful, oh, what's this? I'll get a ladle and I'll throw it. Yeah, wow.
It's her laughing that I'm concerned by. Yeah. I think it might have been hysteria.
Oh, you know, yeah. And I'm not cross.
Yeah, no.
It's done now. She's asking for trouble. Let me tell you that, Bonnie. Wait till Bonnie's 15. It won't be paint. She'll be throwing around. My news from the north comes from the Lancashire Live. A naked cleaner reveals the weirdest parts of her job and what her clients are like.
She could have done this house.
A woman who works as a naked cleaner has revealed the weirdest parts of her job, including the clients who are also naked. Lottie Ray, 32, took up the unusual role to make some extra money in 2017 and charges £50 an hour, estimating she's made a few thousand pounds over the years. She says in the 6 years she's been working as a naked cleaner, she's had a range of clients, including some who just want company, naturists, and others who hope for something more. The cleaner, who describes herself as free-spirited.
Yeah, I bet.
Says the role has made her feel more body confident and even says it's empowering. Lottie says there's a fair few people who are creepy. A handful of guys are clean for book cleaners on the premise that they will get something else. I'm clear. I'm just here to clean. But they'll say the other cleaners have been strippers or given massages.
What?
The money.
Where is she based?
Lancashire. Oh. The money has definitely helped. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't being paid the financial incentive. After dabbling in side hustles like selling secondhand clothes, Lottie picked up her first job as a naked cleaner in October 2017 as a way to earn some extra cash. And now she posts her adventures on her Instagram account, Musings from a Naked Cleaner. She has worked in her local area with a mix of clients hiring her services and says the role appealed to her as she wanted more money whilst meeting new people and trying new things. She claims she's worked with a range of clients from older looking men looking for company to younger guys with disposable income who want to try something different. While most of her clients are friendly and don't overstep the mark, she says some can push things a bit far.
It doesn't really scream cleaning to me. I don't think I'd want to be naked around bleach.
No, splashes. That's what I'm concerned about. One of my clients I cleaned for 3 times altogether, and his house was the dirtiest house I've ever come across in my life, teeming with dirt and grime. But when I got there, he didn't want me to clean it all. That's what he really needed.
I wonder if she arrives in a Mac or like a tabard that just covers things. You know, like...
Oh, I think she'd arrive fully clothed.
Oh, and then strip at off. The door.
Yeah, well, I think she'd say, could I just go and nip to the bathroom?
Could I just get loose?
Yeah. I've cleaned for some younger guys who seem more sociable. They're out and about and just have disposable income and want to try something different. Another guy I've worked for the whole 6 years is a nudist. So for him, it's right up his street. He's already naked when I get in. We have a coffee and I play with the dog and then I get to work. The clients will get naked as well. A few of them are quite nervous at first and keep the clothes on until they're confident enough to take them off. My friends and family know what I do, but I think they wonder why do I do it. They all think these men are weird and creepy, but in general, they're just nice people. So there you go.
Yeah, cool.
£50 an hour. I mean, oof. Yeah, good God. Luck to her.
Good for her. Yeah, I won't absolutely. Be telling my cleaner, I'll tell you that.
I don't want to see my cleaner naked.
No, I've got no desire to see my naked.
We adore you. for listening. Thank you so much for being here. I can't tell you how much it means to us. We just love you, and we just love being back. We just love doing it. It's gorgeous. So thank you. We do always finish on Jules's affirmation of the week.
You are worthy of greatness.
Oh, yes, you are.
I wrote that in my gratitude journal this week.
All day long. We love you very much, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.